So now let's go to the last one. Hallelujah. The last one, which is F, is practical wisdom. Now it says that wisdom is vital in every aspect of our lives. And when it comes to staying safe in the face of pestilences and plagues, it plays a key role. What we are saying here is that there's a place for wisdom. Yeah, there's a place for wisdom in order to stay safe. There's a way somebody can behave and think that he is being spiritual and then plays the fool. And when you play the fool, the devil is there to take advantage. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, do what? Get wisdom. You need to be wise. You must not be foolish. There are believers who have died before their time because they think they were being spiritual, but they did not apply wisdom in some things, and the devil took advantage of them. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. When you know how to apply wisdom, there are some wars that you will not need to fight. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. You must learn how to apply wisdom. It says, discuss the various ways in which wisdom comes to play in this regard. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. Jesus described two groups of people there. He said, one is wise, the other one is foolish. He said, the ones that are wise are the ones that hears his sayings and puts the sayings to work. He said, the ones that are foolish are the ones that hear and do not do what he says. So the first point of wisdom is putting the knowledge that you have received to work. Some people are quick to gather knowledge, but when it comes to doing, they don't do. They don't apply the knowledge that they gather. You must be keen to find out how you can put the knowledge that you have received to work. For instance, today we have already looked at the various armor that you can put on. We talked about walking a godly walk. We said it includes applying the blood of the Lord Jesus. We said it also involves the name of the Lord. We said the word of God and faith. We said prayer. Now, somebody can receive all these. And these things are able to protect the individual. But if that person does not apply these things that he or she has heard, they will not work. When we started, somebody was asking a question, can a truly born-again Christian die of Ebola? What do you say about that? And I explained very well that it's not just a case of being born again. Any soldier that does not know how to protect himself will die in warfare. You must learn how to dress up properly to be safe. So you have to learn how to apply the knowledge that you have received, and you need to teach the brethren. These things are not just for head knowledge. They have to be applied. And that is where people have to meditate on these words and then begin to apply these words at their own level. It is equal to foolishness to receive knowledge and not apply it. Before I went into the ministry, one day my boss was asking me, I were discussing and I referred to this scripture. And he said, why did Jesus say that the other one is foolish? Why did he call him foolish? I said, because he was given the knowledge he needed to have protected what he had from being destroyed. He did not use the knowledge. That was what made him foolish. He said, so when you receive the knowledge to solve a problem and you do not apply that knowledge, you are no longer classified as wise. You are on the other side. So Jesus makes it very clear here that when we receive his sayings, the saying that can protect us and make our lives better and deliver us from the hands of the wicked one, if we receive those sayings and we go ahead and put them to use, then we are called wise. Even though the wind may blow, even though the rain may come, even though there may be flood, we will still be standing firm at the end of it all. But if we hear and we don't do, then the Bible says such people are foolish, because when the rain descends and the winds blow and the floods come, he said their house will fall because they built on the sand. So practical wisdom requires that you put to use what you have heard, what you have received. Now let's move to the next scripture, Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. You see, the devil wanted Jesus to prove, to do something, and show that he's really a child of God. And Jesus saw the trick there and refused to do what the devil said to do. Now, you don't go and begin to touch somebody that has Ebola virus and say, well, I'm a child of God, nothing will happen to me. Romo shanga balaro seremonde. You think you are spiritual? You will open the door for the enemy. The devil told Jesus to jump down from the peak of the pinnacle, said the angels will catch you. Jesus said, no, that is tantamount to putting God to test. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So don't go ahead and just going around saying, nothing can touch me, I'm a child of God. And then you go and expose yourself unnecessarily to contamination. That is not faith, that is foolishness. Is somebody understanding that? This is very, very important. We have said already that you must not fear. He said, do not be afraid of sudden fear when it comes. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25. You must not fear. He already told you in the book of Psalm 91 that 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. All that is true. But do not go and play the fool. Don't go around and say, well, nothing is going to harm me. And then you expose yourself unnecessarily. There's no promise of divine protection to the foolish. Did you hear what I just said? Now that's very important. You should not fear, that's correct. You should walk by faith, that is correct. But don't go and play the fool. Jesus would have said, okay, Satan, let me show you now. I am really the Son of God. I would have jumped from the peak of the pinnacle. You know what would have happened? Angels would not have caught him. Because that would have been putting God to test. The angels would not have been there to catch him. I heard of somebody some time ago who went into the lion's den. I said, it's a Christian, it's a believer. The same God of Daniel is my God. I went to the lion's den and the lions ate him up. Somebody will say, Pastor, God protected Daniel. Maybe this man doesn't have faith. No, that is not the case of faith. It's foolishness. In the case of Daniel, Daniel did not put himself in the lion's den. He was forced to go there. He was standing for God and then he was thrown there against his own will. And then God had to protect him. But for somebody to walk into the lion's den and say, I'm a child of God, nothing will happen to me. That is foolishness. You will just provide lunch for the lions. Hallelujah. So don't go and begin to touch contaminated material here and there and say, well, nothing will happen to me, I'm a child of God. Nothing. Now, if any of those things happen by chance, that's a different case. You can just plead the blood of Lord Jesus and use the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I touched that, I didn't know. Right now, I claim divine protection. I declare that any virus that I may have touched die instantly. You can do all of that. But to open your eyes and then be careless and then expose yourself unnecessarily is not wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, moves about, seeking whom he may devour. Now listen, not everybody is edible to the devil. He has to look for the one who has opened the door. He has to look for the one who is playing foolish. He can't just jump on anyone. If he could jump on anyone, he wouldn't need to go about looking around. He has to find the one that is not under covering, the one that is walking naked. He has to look for such people. He has to look for the ones that are not walking in wisdom, that are foolish. The Bible says you should be vigilant. Be vigilant, be sober, be vigilant. Because the devil is looking for somebody to take advantage of. Then Matthew chapter 26 verse 41, what does it say? Watch and pray. Do what? Watch and pray. Please notice that it did not say pray and watch. It is not pray and watch. It is what? Watch and pray. Watchfulness comes first. You don't play the fool and then later begin to look for solution. Watch and pray. Keep your eyes open. Be vigilant. And then follow it with prayer. It's not the case of you'll be careless, then I will pray. No, it is not pray and watch. It is watch and pray. Hallelujah. So that is the end of the study. Now, the floor is open for questions. Yeah. Yeah, all those scriptures are correct. But in situations like this, you don't do that except you feel led by the Spirit of God. You must be sure that the Holy Spirit is the one leading you to lay hands on somebody who is carrying the virus. After all, in the book of Matthew chapter 8, when the centurion came to Jesus and they said his servant was sick, Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." The man said, "You don't need to come to my house. Speak the word and my servant shall be healed." So it's not until you have laid hands on somebody, you can speak the word over somebody who is sick. He said, "This person is contaminated, speak the word." So it's only when you feel led, you feel that what the Spirit of God is telling you to do, you will need to be sure of that. Otherwise, don't do it. And the fact that one man of God did it should not mean that you should do it, because you don't know his faith level. Is that clear? Yes. In a situation where you pray for somebody and you didn't know the person has Ebola virus and you have laid hands on that person, you should not fear anything. All you just need to do, apply the blood of Jesus, declare the name of Jesus, and declare that it will not harm you. That actually is the time you can come out and say, "I shall lay my hands on the sick and they shall recover. Greater is he that is in me." You quote all those scriptures because you didn't do it blindly. It's just that you didn't know. Now there's a provision for protection right there for somebody who never knew, things like that. So that's what we're talking about. But if you already know this person has a virus, before you lay hands, you just need to be careful. You need to make sure you are led. But if you didn't know and you laid hands and later find out that the person had a virus, you just simply claim the scripture, claim all this protection we already have declared, and make sure you don't allow fear, because the adversary will actually try to make you feel, "Oh, you better go for a checkup. You must be having the disease now." That fear is what will open the door for him. You refuse to fear. So that's the difference between somebody walking into the lion's den and somebody thrown into the lion's den. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, the angels were there to protect him because he didn't put himself there on purpose. But other people who went to the lion's den just to prove that I know who I am, I have power, they became lunch for the lions. Yeah. Yes. First of all, there's no need to cajole anybody. The gospel is what it is. It's either people receive it or they reject it. You cannot change the name of the Lord Jesus simply because the Muslims don't want to believe that name. Because if you cajole them with some other name, when they now find out that it is Jesus that you're talking about, they will still go back to their rebellion. So what you have to do is pray until God softens their heart and they are ready to receive Jesus. There's no negotiating the name. There's no negotiating it. If they say they don't want to hear about Jesus, well, just make sure that you play your part. Pray for them. Try to minister to them. They say, "Get away. We don't listen to Jesus. We don't believe in Jesus." When they get to hell, they will find out. Yes. Okay, thank you for that. A very good question. If prayer is the answer, how come we have been praying and praying and Ebola is still doing its own thing? You'll be amazed what would have happened if you didn't pray. Somebody said, if you think your prayer is not working, stop praying. Very soon you will find out the mistake that you have made. Now, every enemy is not the same size. Even when God was dealing with Pharaoh, 10 plagues is sent upon Pharaoh before that man's heart bowed. So it's not every enemy that you defeat with one effort. When Elijah was to pray down rain, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, he prayed and prayed and prayed and called his servant and said, "Go and check, look to the sea and see what you see." 6 times he got divided, nothing. But the 7th time, there was a cloud the size of a man's hand. That was when the breakthrough came. Now, it was not the 7th prayer that did the miracle. Not the 6th time that he prayed, they contributed. But the result did not show until the 7th time. So enemies are in different sizes. If you are dealing with a horde or a great multitude of demons that have been assigned to bring Ebola there, and you are praying, it may look like nothing is happening. But something is happening. It is like when you are trying to cut down a very big tree. I don't know whether you have been to the farm before. If you have been to the farm and you see where they cut down trees. I remember in those days when you go to farm and you have to cut down some trees. There are some trees that take 3 days to cut. You are using your machete or cutlass. You cut and cut and cut and cut. You get tired and go. The next day you come and you continue. Until maybe the third day you cannot cut to a point where the tree can fall. So that is the picture there. Also, if you want to boil egg and you put it on the fire, within 10-15 minutes, the egg is boiled. Am I right? But if you want to cook a piece of meat, like beef or some of this stubborn meat, you put that thing on the fire. 1 hour later, the thing is still very tough. So you keep putting on heat. That's the only solution. You keep applying heat until the meat cooks. So if you are praying, it doesn't mean that the prayer is not working simply because you can't see anything. What you do is you keep praying and praying until the amount of prayer needed to secure the victory is released. Did you get it? Even Jesus himself, our Lord and Master, when he went and prayed and said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass over from me." How long did you think he prayed? He prayed and prayed and prayed and came to see his disciples. They were sleeping. He said, "Peter, couldn't you watch for me for 1 hour?" Which means that by the time he came back the first time, he has spent 1 hour already. He went back the second time. And then he went back the third time. That was when eventually he got the breakthrough and angels came to strengthen him. We are talking of warfare. Daniel went to pray. And then when he started praying, that very first day, God sent the answer. There was resistance in the spirit. The man continued for 21 days. It was not until the 21st day that an angel came to him to tell him what had been going on. So all enemies are not the same. And there are some stubborn enemies that require more effort to deal with. So that explains the situation why you can be praying and it looks like things are going from bad to worse. It doesn't mean that the prayer is not working. But you keep building out that prayer. It comes to a point when the situation has to bow. That is why Jesus gave the illustration in the book of Luke chapter 18 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Because there are situations where you'll be tempted to faint as though your prayer is not working. Yeah? Well, thank you for that. The way God works, he doesn't have to have the whole nation to agree. It is not until every believer in this nation agrees. He said to Abraham, "If I can get 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah, if I can find 10 people there, I will save the whole city." So there will be a lot of people who are carrying all sorts of doctrine with themselves. No problem with that. But if God can get a handful of people who know the right thing, he can, because of the prayers of those people, turn the situation around. So it is not until every believer in the country agrees together. There will always be differences. Even salvation, there are some people who don't think you need to be born again. There are people who preach that, but that does not stop God. So what you do is that you operate on the level of light that you have and leave God to sort out how to answer. Yeah? Yeah, in a situation like this, the government is actually doing the best they can. They are doing the right thing. They are operating on the level of the knowledge they have. There's no way they will operate on the principles of faith because they don't have the faith to operate on. So based on the scientific knowledge they have, then they pass some rules. And those rules are intended to protect people. Nobody can use a weapon that he doesn't have. Now, the church has to be obedient. Have to be obedient to the instructions that the government give. It is not allowed to disobey those instructions. When they put some limitation here and there, you abide by it because they are doing their best they can with the best of intention. You cannot expect them to exercise faith. So they believe in medicine, they believe in science, but they are not using the principles of the Word of God. And this is not the time to go and tell them, my Bible says, that will be an error on your path. So the constraint is there, but then the government is doing the right thing by creating situations that they believe will help to solve the problem. All the reduction in times of service, they are not doing it because of church. They are doing it because of contact, to minimize the possibility of contact. That's why they are doing it. So they are doing it with the best of intentions. And it is necessary for the church to be obedient. Now, the issue you mentioned that we ought to obey God rather than man, that does not apply here. It does not apply because the government is not deliberately standing against church. What they are standing against is contact. And the devil is taking advantage of the situation to destroy the faith of the people. That is why a program like this came up, so that you can apply wisdom and ask people to just meet in the house, and somebody will just go in there as though you are visiting the person, share the word of God, so that God's people will not starve to death. That's where this kind of wisdom came in. But as for the program the government have put in place to fight the situation, it is proper to obey the government. God didn't say to defy government. It's only when government defies God that you now have to take a stand. Even though the rules that they have made is affecting churches, they didn't make it because they want to punish church, they don't want people to meet in church. They are doing it because they want to minimize contact. So in that sense, the government is right in what they are doing. Amen. Sorry, that is not the kind of answer you expected, but that is the correct answer. Hallelujah. Yes. Okay, praise God for that. You should be happy that at least the teaching came forth. It would have been possible that the teaching never came at all. So the fact that at least there's a possibility for this teaching to come across is something to be grateful for. The fact that it didn't come earlier, well, that does not diminish its value, because at least it can benefit those who want to take advantage of it right now. It does not take away from the importance of it and the value of it, simply because it didn't come earlier. I was the one that came up with this idea to do it this way because of my contact with our pastor over there. So if you guys had that need and you had expressed it previously, probably the teaching would have come out earlier than this. This idea came from me on this side. So that is the way it is. Now, this study should not be rushed. Take your time to gradually teach the people that you are teaching. If it's going to take you 2 months, let it take you 2 months. Go step by step. You don't need to rush. Amen. I hope you've been richly blessed through this study. My name is Pastor Vincent Imwensi, General Overseer of Living Word Revival Ministries, London. Till I come your way again next time, stay blessed and bye for now.